Good morning, everybody. Can you hear me? Happy Halloween, or Go Giants, or whatever you're celebrating today. So today I'm going to tell you a little bit about a specific performance improvement methodology that we've used at Metropolitan Hospital Center in New York. I want to take this time to thank my co-author, Marcy Rubin, for her guidance and support, and for coming today to hear me speak. We have no financial relationships to disclose. So I'm going to start off by giving you an overview of lean methodology and what's called A3 thinking. I'm going to tell you how this methodology was adopted in New York City's public hospital network, known as the Health and Hospital Corporation, in a program called Breakthrough. I'm going to tell you how Breakthrough is structured, and I'm going to tell you specifically about what a Breakthrough event looks like. And then I'm going to tell you about some of the work we've done at Metropolitan in particular, and I'm going to conclude with successes, challenges, and recommendations for other practices. So first, a little bit about lean. It's a structured performance improvement methodology. It's based on Toyota's lean production system, and Toyota's a Japanese car manufacturing company, so a lot of the terminology that I'm going to use throughout the presentation is actually Japanese. So I'm going to refer to the Gemba as the place where the work happens. We have senseis, we have black belts, and I just got my green belt, so I'm pretty psyched about that. So the primary focus of lean is identifying waste and eliminating it from processes. Organizational problems are solved by the people who actually do the work, so it's a bottom-up methodology as opposed to a top-down methodology. And it incorporates this unique and integrative problem-solving methodology called A3 thinking. So what is A3 thinking? At the core of A3 thinking, we address a problem, we propose solutions, and we launch projects. The term A3 actually refers to the size of a paper, 11 by 17, and if you do enough of these trainings and you ask people what is A3, that's the first thing they'll always go to. There is a reason why they call it by this size of this paper, because it's a visual manifestation of problem solving. It tells a story, and it's really important that somebody who comes along can look at the A3 and really know what's going on right away, as opposed to having to ask all these questions. A3 thinking utilizes the PDCA system, plan, do, check, act. So when you're trying to design some sort of solution to a problem, you plan it out, you put it into place, you see if it's working, and then you adapt it. And it's a cyclical process, so you really want to keep repeating this over and over again. A3 makes sure that problem solving is continuous and nonstop. It involves dialogue between the owner of a problem, the people doing the work, and anybody else who's involved in it. It allows for managing and encourages learning. It builds consensus around a project. It involves team building. And like I said, the A3 itself is a communication tool that tells a story. And at the end of the day, you get a team together and it unifies the entire team around whatever the solution you propose. So why is it important to promote A3 thinking? I said before that it's very structured. It's continuous. It's not fragmented. It helps to break down a lot of the silos that we see in healthcare by bringing together interdisciplinary teams. True to form, it eliminates waste of debating methods, so you're no longer trying to decide how you're going to solve a problem. Everybody in the organization knows that you go to the A3 whenever you have a problem. It creates consensus around that from the get-go. It reveals issues and problems that may otherwise go unnoticed. Part of the process is identifying gaps and root causes of these gaps. During that process, often you get people talking about things that normally they wouldn't talk about. It makes it visual, it tells a story, it's very motivating for staff, and it creates engagement around a project. And it manages for daily improvement. So every day you come back to the A3 and you see how you're doing. If things are going well, you say how could they be going better, and if things aren't going well, you determine why. So this is an A3. I'm going to run through each of the 9 boxes. The reason for action, otherwise known as the burning platform, is what is the problem? Why are we here? What are we trying to solve? The current state is how things look today. Usually you'll have graphs and data to determine where you stand. Target state looks very much like the current state, except it's where you want to go. So again, you'll have graphs and data to explain that. The gap analysis is where you compare the target state and the current state, and you determine what the differences are, what's holding you back from reaching your target state. Once you've identified the gaps, the solution approach is intended to address these gaps. Rapid experiments follow from the solution approach. Once you identify potential solutions, you go back to the Gemba and you try these out and you see if things are working. You collect data. Once you've determined that your solutions are good, you've tested them out, they're going to work, you develop a completion plan. Completion plan really should be long. It shouldn't be a list that's too long. It should be some things that you couldn't accomplish while you were actually doing the A3. Confirm state, every once in a while you'll come back and you'll check to see how you're doing. It's going to look a lot like the current state and the target state. But of course you want to be approaching the target state with your confirm state every time you come back to it. Finally, insights. At the end of every A3, you want to ask yourself what worked, what didn't work, what hindered the process, what helped to help with future projects. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about New York City's Health and Hospital Corporation. It's one of the largest municipal healthcare systems in the world, serving more than 1.4 million New Yorkers, including nearly 500,000 uninsured. It's composed of 11 acute care hospitals, 4 skilled nursing facilities, 6 diagnostic and treatment centers, and more than 70 community-based clinics. In 2009, the Health and Hospitals Corporation rolled out Lean in a program called Breakthrough, and at the heart of this program was reducing costs, improving the patient experience through changes in the workflow as well. So these are the breakthrough principles. They call it the two pillars of breakthrough: respect for people and continuous improvement. But there's a few other things in here that are really important to talk about. This idea of the customer defining value. There's often a lot of debate around what is value added versus what is not value added. And I'm going to give you an example that often people get caught up with. So when you're doing a pre-authorization for insurance, a lot of people in healthcare would say that is value added to the patient or the customer because they wouldn't want to get a big bill at the end of the day. But if you ask a patient if they care how we're doing a pre-authorization, they probably don't. They want to come in and see the doctor and leave. So it's really important when you're deciding what's value added versus what's not value added to think of it from the patient's perspective, to not get caught up. Just because we've always been doing something one way doesn't mean it's the only way to do it. There may be a way to do it more efficiently. So once you've identified what's value added to the customer, you deliver it to them on demand. You standardize your solution. You want to make sure everybody's doing the same thing across the organization. One of the important parts of breakthrough is experiencing the problem yourself, going to the Gemba, working with the staff, listening to them. The only way to really transform an organization is to experience what's going on at the front line. And finally, we have mutual respect and shared responsibility at the heart. So this is the structure of breakthrough throughout the corporation. I included this slide to stress the fact that everything's connected. All the values from the top down, from the bottom up, are all feeding into each other. And I want to draw your attention to the bottom right hand, where you have the what's called the ambulatory care value stream, and the ambulatory care value stream steering committee, which I'm going to tell you about in a moment. So from there, we have the specific projects. These RIE refers to rapid improvement event. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about those. But first, a little bit about Metropolitan Hospital Center. So it's a member of New York City's Health and Hospitals Corporation. It's a municipal acute care hospital in East Harlem, New York. It's a teaching hospital affiliated with New York Medical College, serving the underserved, mostly minority communities of Upper Manhattan and the South Bronx, and a lot of our patients are also uninsured. In 2009, we began work with Lean. Ambulatory care services was identified as a value stream area, and our goals were to improve efficiency, enhance the patient-centered approach, and increase patient and staff satisfaction. So the ambulatory care value stream was designed to provide guidance and support to the executive sponsor and process owner of the department. They provide strategy and direction, identifying opportunities for improvement and prioritizing breakthrough events. They're going to monitor all these events to make sure metrics are being met. They're going to remove barriers when they come up. They're going to initiate rapid improvement events. Every year the VSA VSA happens, and they determine all the events for the next 12 months. They ensure that culture and operational financial performance are all up to par. They review the pace of the change to see if things are moving too quickly or too slowly. They help to align the execution of rapid improvement events with the overall business strategy of the organization. They listen to people on the front line, they listen to people at the top, and they make sure everybody's working towards the same goals. And then they review past, present, and future to determine the course of change. So there's a saying that the value stream should be a mile wide and an inch deep, whereas a rapid improvement event is an inch wide and a mile deep. And what that means is that when you're on a rapid improvement event, you're looking at a very small process, and you really want to drill down and understand everything there is to know about that process. Whereas on the value stream, you really want to look at the big picture, and you don't want to get too involved in the minute details. So a rapid improvement event is 4.5 days. It's structured. On day one, you're going to go over boxes 1 and 2. You're going to map the current state and the target state. Day two is often considered the hardest day to get through because what you're essentially doing is looking at the target state and figuring out how to get there, figuring out all the things that are standing in your way and what's known as the gap analysis. They say if you make it through the gap analysis, you're good for the rest of the week. Because after that, you've identified your gap, you drill down to determine root causes of those gaps, you come up with a solution approach. Then the next day, you go to the Gemba, you try out these solutions, you collect data. The following day, you come back, you look at the data, you see if your solution approach is going to work, and you write out your completion plan. And the last day is a presentation to the hospital or to the leaders of the organization. Of course, at the end of every day, you're going to also have a report out to make sure that what the work that you're doing is contributing to the overall goals of the organization. You're going to focus on process and goals throughout the week. You're not going to get caught up in finger-pointing and whatnot. The team, a rapid improvement team is always interdisciplinary. You have people from the work area. You usually have somebody who's never been to the work area to provide a fresh perspective, and you have what would be called subject matter experts who have been through it before, and they can provide their own guidance. I'm going to tell you very briefly about the core team. The process owner is the person who's held accountable at the end of the day to make sure everything happens. The team leader motivates and leads discussion throughout the week. Facilitator is like a lean expert. They're with the team every day of the week, making sure that they're staying on track. The executive sponsor is somebody who sort of communicates with the team and then with the leaders of the organization on a regular basis to make sure everything's aligned. And the sensei is also a lean expert that you call in if you hit a roadblock and you really don't know what to do. Following a rapid improvement event, every 30, 60, and 90 days, you have a report out to the hospital-wide performance improvement committee. So lots of tools that we use in Breakthrough. There's more rapid improvement events, the most common vehicle for change, but there's other ones. A 6S and a 2P, you're looking at physical space and determining how to use it most efficiently and effectively. Sometimes you don't need a whole week to solve a problem. We have a just do it. And the characteristics of a just do it are you know where you stand and you know where you want to go. You just get a small group together and you figure out how to do it. I've mentioned a few times the importance of visual management because you want somebody to be able to come to the area and see what's going on. So for that reason, we have what's called a process control board where you track your metrics on a daily basis. You might design a Pareto chart to figure out whenever things go wrong, why are they going wrong, what are the largest contributors to that. Before an event, you also put up an idea tree where anybody from the area can anonymously put up their ideas for how to make the process better. And then we have these other tools that you use during a rapid improvement event. When you're doing the gap analysis, sometimes you want to separate all your root causes into different categories. So for that, you use a fishbone diagram. You use a 5 whys to drill down. You have a high-level gap, and you want to figure out what's causing it. So you keep asking, why is this happening, why is this happening, why is this happening? And then when you're designing your current state, you have a spaghetti diagram to see where a patient's moving throughout the process. A communication circle, you draw lines between all the different players in a process to see who's communicating with who. And this picture you see on the bottom here, they often use these color-coded Post-its and butcher paper. I was a little skeptical when I first saw this, but it's actually really useful when you want to sort of physically move things around in a process and see how this would look here. So you use this to design your current state and your target state. So the data is invaluable in this process. The Value Stream Steering Committee uses True North metrics to determine how all their work's contributing. So our Value Stream metrics are productivity, the show rate, patient satisfaction, human development, which refers to how we're engaging staff in the breakthrough process, growth and volume, and then we have financial metrics as well. On the other side, you have process metrics, which are meant for the frontline staff to use to see how they're doing on a daily basis. It's really good to come every day and look at your process control board and see, you know, how many reminder calls are we doing, how much planning are we doing, how many patients are coming in, and so you can really address issues as they come up. So we've learned a lot from this process. It's some of the metrics are really difficult to move. It involves changing behavior, responding to the laws of supply and demand. Often there's nothing we really can do to make a process work more efficiently. We're kind of stuck. We've had a lot of success working across service lines, but of course it still becomes an issue, you know, reaching across the aisle with different departments. And then creating a sense of cooperation and teamwork with different titles and different departments is also difficult. There's a big question always, are we trying to cut costs or improve quality, or are we trying to do both? That often comes up as an issue when you're aligning the values of everybody in the organization. And of course, the hardest problem is sustaining change. Like I said, we had a lot of success bringing staff together. It leads to conflict, but often conflict leads to change, so that's good. And then you have goals of different stakeholders being different. You have frontline staff, leadership, the facilitators, and the patients themselves, who all might want something different. And that's it. Thank you.